Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I do realize that today is not the day of the Ascension, but today is the day that we are observing Ascension. The Ascension actually takes place 10 days before Pentecost. And we know that we're only 7 days before Pentecost at this point. So today is not exactly the day of the Ascension. Rather, today is the day that we are observing the Ascension because it is such a great and important day in the life of the church and of Scripture. A little preface there. So as we have already begun to discuss, last week, last Sunday was quite the memorable experience, wasn't it? And for those of you who don't know or visiting, we attempted to host an outdoor service last week. And we began an outdoor service last week. And right as we began, a torrential downpour came. We got about 5 inches of rain in the span of a couple of hours. So we had to cut short a little bit. But I think we have some things that we can learn from that time. So again, it was quite a memorable experience, one that we will not soon forget. But once again, as has been the case time and time again over these last 3 years, your resiliency, your faithfulness, because of God's faithfulness, was just overwhelmingly evident, on display. And I do believe that the Lord has a message for us from last Sunday. In that torrential downpour, we, together as the body of Christ, went through a type of baptism. Right? We went through a type of baptism that if we think about it long enough, it proves that not one of us is in control. Not one of us. And it proves to us also that we are here for a reason. All of us. We are here for a reason. We are together for a reason. The Lord has amazing things planned for us. We may not know exactly what those things are, but I do think that specifically last Sunday, well, first of all, I know it's a day that we will never forget. We will always remember that day. And I think that it is a time that we had to go through. I think we had to go through that because the Lord is doing something new. The Lord is doing something different. Something that none of us have ever seen or experienced before. We had to go through that time last week. We needed the cleansing as preparation for the work that the Lord is doing. And that cleansing that we experienced in the rain last week was a symbolic washing away of sins. Past, present, future. It was a nurturing of our body, just as it nurtured the grounds of the fields at Bugby Plantation. I couldn't help but notice that as I was leaving, how much those crops needed that water, and how much we did as well. And that time last week, we may not know exactly what it looks like just yet, but that time last week is a preparation. It's a preparation for something that the Lord has in store. I truly believe that it was a turning point in the life of our congregation. It was a turning point. And I think we all will do well to remember May 25th, 2025. Our Sunday at Bugby. It won't be the only one, though. Well, friends, we know that when Scripture repeats something, it means we ought to pay attention to it. And there are lots of things that are repeated in Scripture. I want to point out one of those things today. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." And he said something very similar in our gospel reading today, didn't he? The passage from Luke. The very end of the Gospel of Luke, he said, at the Ascension, he says, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." So there's this sort of a book ending, if you will, of Jesus making this declaration of him being the fulfillment. The fulfillment of everything that took place before. All of the law, the prophets, all of the Old Testament. And he actually included in the passage from Luke, the Psalms. And I do believe that there is an often overlooked aspect of the Psalms that we're not going to overlook today. But there's an often overlooked aspect of the Psalms, and that is their prophetic nature. There are many of the Psalms that tell us about Jesus hundreds of years, maybe even thousands of years before he walked on the earth. There's such a grand prophetic nature specifically about Jesus in the Psalms. So this morning, we prayed together Psalm 67. Now, this was supposed to be our psalm for last week, and maybe you do remember, we prayed the psalm together last week, right before we had to cut our time short, but we prayed that psalm together again this morning. I always like to refer to the psalms as being prayed and not read. We don't read the psalms. The psalms aren't a narrative or a story. The psalms are prayers and songs directed toward God. So when we have a psalm, it's a prayer. So we prayed together through Psalm 67 this morning. And if you want to follow along, it's on page 350 in the Book of Common Prayer. In Psalm 67, there is a trajectory and a liturgical movement. You know, the liturgy is that's the things that we do with our body in worship. We stand, we sit, we kneel, we close our eyes and bow our heads. We use all of our senses in worship. That is the liturgy. And there is a liturgical movement in Psalm 67. The movement begins with confession and repentance. It includes praise and mission, going out and coming back, praise again, and then the whole earth coming together to bring praise, blessing, and worship to God. So then, we're going to look a little bit at Psalm 67 this morning and how it points us, not only points us to Jesus, but it describes, it is a description of who Jesus is. And also then, what we celebrate today, his ascension, going from earth back into the glory of heaven to sit at the right hand of God to rule and reign with him forever. Psalm 67, verse 1 begins with acknowledging that God is the one who provides, not me. God is the one who is in control, who is sovereign. And with this immediate movement of confession and repentance, with the words, "God, be merciful." If I'm asking God to be merciful upon me, it's an acknowledgement that I need God's mercy. That is a confession. That is a confession because if I need God's mercy, it's because I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God, be merciful. Then verses 2 and 3 are all praise. Because God forgives when we repent, then we can offer him praise. And you probably didn't hear last week, but I wanted to make one point in before we left last week, and it was this one. Verse 2 begins with these words. It says, "Let your way be known upon earth." Remember, the Psalms are our prayers to God, our praises to God, so that and we've already approached God at the beginning. May God be merciful and bless us. Now we're saying, God, let your way be known upon earth. Let your way be known upon earth. We remember in John chapter 14 what Jesus says about God's way. When Thomas was doubting and didn't know where Jesus was going to go after the resurrection, because Jesus had told them that he wouldn't be with them forever, but that they would know the way to go where he is going so they could come as well. Thomas doubted and said, "Lord, we don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus responded famously, and we know the words, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In our praise, we make the great proclamation, "Let your way be known upon earth. Let Jesus' way, let the way be known upon earth. Let Jesus' saving health be among the nations." Friends, this is good news. This is good news, and this is a beautiful description of who Jesus is and how he provides us everlasting salvation. Right there, hundreds of years before he even walked the earth. The verse 4 then continues the good news proclamation with the spread of the good news that Jesus is the way, that salvation comes only through him, and that he is the only one who could properly and righteously judge, as he does today that we celebrate in the Ascension from the glory of heaven. "Let the nations rejoice and be glad, for you, Jesus, shall judge the peoples righteously and govern the nations of the earth." Then again in verse 5, praise. Praise again. If something is repeated in Scripture more than once, we ought to pay attention. Praising God is quite important, isn't it? So, actually, do we even notice how many times praise is used in this psalm? Did you catch that maybe? I count up to about 6 different ways that praise is offered to God in this psalm, who in turn gives us his blessing when we praise him. Then we go to verse 6. Verse 6 starts to bring everything together, all in one. It says, "Then shall the earth bring forth her increase." When the people of God, the body of Christ, when we come together to worship and praise, the world around us, the natural world, cannot help but to join along. The rest of the world comes together. The entirety, friends, of God's creation is broken because of sin. Original sin did not only affect humanity, original sin affected the natural world as well. All creation groans in the pain of sin. You know, before sin, there were no earthquakes or tornadoes or hurricanes or mudslides or tsunamis or scorching heat or freezing cold. All of nature is broken because of sin. So all of nature then can join together in the totality of worship, giving her increase, giving fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Reminding us of what our worship should then bring from us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is what comes from our worship. Not dissension or frustration or fighting or hatred. Love, joy, peace. Going back a little bit now. Verse 2 again, tells us of Jesus. Jesus, let your way be known upon earth. And then verse 6 brings home the reality of what happens when Jesus does come and show us the way. The reality is that then the earth shall bring forth her increase. When Jesus comes in showing the way, the fruit is abundant. It is clear. And isn't that amazing? That Jesus, the Savior and Redeemer of all things, is alive on every page of the Bible. And even the birds, the trees, the waters, the green grass, and the desert sands know the liturgical trajectory of God's redeeming love. Then we got verse 7, the last of our verses in Psalm 67. When we confess our sins, when we repent of our misdeeds, when we praise God for His goodness, when we spread the good news of His word in all that we do, when we praise again, and then when we are joined by the glory of nature in praise and blessing, then it is that the Lord our God shall bless us. He shall bless us, and all the ends of the world will know Him. And now we come to the connection point with what we celebrate today, the ascension. Jesus, in the ascension, is making His way back into the glory of heaven, to sit at the right hand of the Father, to rule and reign for all of eternity until He comes back to earth. The ascension is one of those four great aspects of who Jesus is and what He has done for us, the four being the incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension. And all four of these things had to take place. They had to take place at a specific time, in a specific place, and in a specific way, because that was God's intention for them. Though we know that Jesus' ascension was not Him leaving us behind. He did not leave us. He did not abandon us. He lives here with us now on earth, 2,000 years later, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that great gift of the Father. And more on the Holy Spirit next week as we celebrate Pentecost and baptism. But Jesus still lives through each of us when we gather together, when we worship, when we pray, when we repent, when we celebrate, when we sacrifice, when we build, when we go out, when we proclaim the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ and Him alone, the way. And all of our work, no matter what it is centered upon Jesus, upon what He has done, who He is, and then how we can participate in the building of His kingdom here on earth. When we come together, having confessed our sins, accepted God's forgiveness, praised Him, taken the good news out to others, praised Him again, when the whole of God's creation then joins along in the worship as well, is when we see God's true blessings. Again, the connection point with the ascension is there. In the Luke passage, it says that Jesus led the disciples out as far as Bethany, and lifting up His hands, He blessed them. And while He blessed them, He parted from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshiped Him. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. God blessed their worship. And their worship was a blessing to God. God sent them out to build His kingdom. And that was a blessing to God. They blessed God and God blessed them. Have you ever wondered what it is that we could ever do to please God? What can I do to please God? Well, the answer is right here that we've been talking about all morning. Take the good news of Jesus Christ out to others and worship God. That's what we can do to please God. This is what pleases God. This is what blesses God. You know, there is an amazing trajectory and connection in both of these passages, Psalm 67, Luke 24, and both of them include us as the recipients of God's amazing blessings in salvation through Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we are on a journey. The last 3 years is only the beginning of that journey. We are on a journey of unknown steps and questions around every turn. There are times that we have needed to adjust, to move, to collaborate, to pray, to celebrate, and move on. Those things will not come to an end. The journey of being true to the gospel and living a united life together is a journey of being brought to a place of humility and humbleness. A place where we are no longer relying on ourselves, but we're relying on each other, the body of Christ. And more importantly, we rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not leave the world in the ascension. He did not abandon any of his people. He blessed the world with the presence of the Holy Spirit, and he remains with us now as we gather together in his name, the pillar of cloud of the Lord, to guide us day by day. So then we take every opportunity that we have to bless his holy name, to receive his blessings, to worship the Lord, to praise the Lord in spirit, in the spirit of truth, of the true gospel. As we come, as we go, as we live, and as we breathe, we bless him, worship him, and follow his calling upon each one of us and our life together. There are no coincidences. There are no coincidences for those who know and love the Lord. So I'm asking you now to remember, to consider, to discern, and to pray about our time together. The times that we come together to worship, to celebrate, to pray, to have fellowship. Think about these things often. Pray about them. And specifically, what does last Sunday mean to you? What does that time together mean to you? How has it affected your spiritual life? Has it? Have you even considered that? Did you recognize the baptismal and preparation symbolism in it? So consider today how the Lord is speaking and how the Lord is working through this body of Christ, St. John's Parish Church. And look forward to next week. Praying for good weather. Look forward to next week when we mark the day of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, with four literal, real baptisms. Not symbolic baptisms, but real baptisms. What does all this say to you? What does all this say to you about the work that the Lord is accomplishing and doing through this body, through St. John's Parish Church? And then, how can each one of us participate in ways that glorify God, ways that bless God, ways that show his saving health among all nations? Friends, the Lord is at work. The Lord is at work. The ascension has already taken place. God, Jesus, is there at the right hand of the Father, ruling and reigning for all time. The ascension has taken place. The Holy Spirit has come to dwell with us, to be with us, to unite us, and to further the building of God's kingdom. These are the days right now that we're going to look back upon one day, and we will be able to know without the shadow of a doubt that God is with us. God is with us. Amen.
creatures of our God and King. Lift up your voice and with us sing. Sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise Him! Oh, praise Him! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Things their Creator bless, and worship Him in humbleness. Oh, praise Him, hallelujah. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, by His blood, come and rejoice in His great love. Oh, praise Him, hallelujah. Christ has defeated every sin, cast all your burdens now on Him. Turn and bow to reign. Heaven and earth will join to sing.